T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Into the 1 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold here on 610, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix in flip guys at kclind.com. JJ Piccolo joined us a little bit earlier on today. We'll bring you the best of that. Coming up at 1:30, his thoughts on the Royals minor league system. Everybody wants to know the timeline for some of these young pitchers. Brady Singer looked good yesterday, to say the least. And joining us now in studio is Lynn Jennings, Channel 9 sports director. He just got back about a week ago, right?
Yeah.
From surprise and from spring training. How are we doing? Thanks for coming in, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's great to have you. I enjoyed the gym wear. You guys had your...
Yeah, I didn't change.
You guys had your big, your big combine tonight,
yes.
Today. You haven't released the results yet. Anything you tease me with or no? Or
well, okay, let's one, there's a couple things. Gold fell down in his 40.
Okay.
The finish line. I definitely fell during the 40. A little sore now.
I think he was over there an embarrassingly short amount of time on the bench, so we're not thinking he did well there. We're not supposed to share the results.
What was the weight?
135, 140.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We think Binkley might have killed us all.
Which
is not surprising.
No, that's not surprising.
What else do we know? I felt the most confident, I think, coming out of the Wonderlic.
Uh-huh.
Than everyone else, but again, that might be hubris.
I think Cody might have won the whole thing. He was oozing confidence yesterday in the Wonderlic. I know he did better than me on the bench press, but I think everybody did.
Now, do you change some of the questions on the Wonderlic, or do you guys do the same that they use in the NFL Combine?
Our boss all sets it up.
It was online. I'm assuming there's probably like a rotation to some extent, but okay. I don't think we had the identical questions.
All right.
No, I don't think we had identical questions, but probably tests of similar nature.
Yeah.
So...
day by day next week.
Okay.
Day by day next week. The results.
You feel really bad about yours. Are you going to be in the teens?
I think all the way around. I might. I was projected to finish second in the entire station overall. I think I might finish second to last or last overall. It was not a good Wonderlic test. I don't know my score, but I didn't feel good about it. The 40, I still think I beat like 4 or 5 people despite falling right when I crossed the finish line.
That's sad.
I don't know who that says more about. I don't know.
Wow, way to just drag the entire station, Gold. I fell down and still beat CERN in the 40. Gosh.
I think I did. I don't know for sure. We don't know our times. That's the weird thing about this.
I'm looking forward to the results. When are you guys releasing them?
Monday through Friday.
Each day will be a different result.
Broad jump is fun.
That's great. You guys
and then we have an internal reward that we're not really discussing about, you know, like we get some personal pride, but then, you know, of knowing that you won. Clearly Fesco's the favorite. He actually goes to the gym.
Yeah, I see him. He posts all the time at the Jewish Community Center.
And
he's just at the gym all the time. Out.
Yeah, always sweating. Yeah.
I told him the best, like the only thing that was going to help me in the bench press, like, well, when was the last time you benched? Oh, high school? It's like, what's going to help me in the bench press? I lift my kids. Like they're kind of heavy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting bigger. They're not getting smaller.
They're almost benching my weight, though, I feel like.
By next year, I'm going to be even better. My kids will be like extra pounds.
Yeah.
Each week, I'm just going to start doing curls with my children.
Yeah, I told them, Lynn, if I finish last at the station, then my I will make it very public. I will be hitting the gym. We're going to like come back stronger
Rocky
than ever.
Style training.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
That's right. Cody, that's what you were trying to say.
I told you I didn't want to finish last. I just wanted to finish like fourth.
You were projected to finish like fifth.
I was projected to finish second or third to last. I was projected only above Serta and Levine.
Oh, my goodness.
The biggest surprise.
That's not good for me.
Biggest surprise is Cody, I think, in this entire combine deal.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing the results. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Of course, the big news of the day, though, is that the Chiefs are intending to franchise tag Chris Jones. You're not surprised, right? I mean, this is kind of where this thing looked like it was heading.
You know what's funny is because I've been thinking a lot about it. I wonder what it is about Chris Jones, because they couldn't get a deal done last year. And he's a popular guy. He gets his sacks. You know, I think you saw improvements on the field this year. It just almost, you know, it kind of, you know, they got Frank Clark in last year, and you kind of say, like, well, it's kind of a slap in the face to Chris Jones. And then now they kind of do the franchise tag, which isn't, you know, I mean, everyone's like, oh, the franchise tag, but it was the average of the top five.
It's like $16.2 million or something.
Yeah, so it's not like he's not going to get paid this year, but it's just, you know, when you hear about the franchise tag to Chris Jones, you just wonder why there's that holdback by the Chiefs. And I know that, and you know, it's like, why? What is it about Chris Jones that they just can't really?
I think it's because they already spend a bunch of money.
And that could be it. That
like
could
they
be
jumped
it, but
the
why,
gun, not sure.
And maybe that's
it.
What it is. Yeah. And maybe that's just by, you know, getting, you know, Frank Clark deal done, which is, you know, which I think is a phenomenal deal. Obviously, we saw what Frank was capable of doing at the end of the season with the Kansas City Chiefs, but. You know, I don't know. It's like there's a part of me that just, you know, because we talk to Chris Jones all the time. He's such a jovial human being and fun to be around that you just kind of like, well, why? It's like, yeah, you kind of feel bad a little bit about Chris Jones. Why? You know, and you know, and he's, you know, I heard Therese Paylor, he's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to, someone's going to pay him a lot of money and it's going to come his way. You just, you know, but what he's done for the Kansas City Chiefs, you hope it's the Chiefs.
Well, and I think every fan is just kind of hoping every player will take, like, oh, just take a little discount.
Yeah.
I think some would prefer they take a major discount, but right. That's lunacy. Like, hey, will you just, instead of $19 million, will you take 18?
That.
Hey, Mahomes, instead of 40, will you take 39? And while that sounds great, you're like, hey, man, it's still $39 million. You're like, could you imagine being told don't take another million
yeah, I know.
Dollars
I know.
Per year? Like, Lynn, you don't need that $5 million. You're like, I don't know. I think I might want that $5 million.
Right.
That's a lot of money, even at my level of expense, you know, like even at my level of livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I feel like I have a really hard time telling anybody, don't take less. Man, I worked at a restaurant once and I had I used to get tipped out for being a bartender. And I had a manager once, like I had a great night. Like I was a bartender and I might have made like $450 for one night's work. It was a good night of work. It's like, this is incredible. And I came to get my tip out the next day. So, like, on top of that, I was going to get tipped out. And I was like, this is way less. The restaurant was slammed. How did I not get more? He's like, oh, you know what? I gave more to some of the, you know, we had server assistants. He's like, I gave some more to the server assistant. I'm like, you don't get a cap what I make.
Yeah, that's not fair at all. That's terrible.
I don't get a cap on the amount of money I make. You're going to be like, you made enough tonight. Like, nah, I don't think so.
Right.
So I'm not here to tell players they can't make more money. That seems crazy. But I still think there's a chance that Chris Jones gets signed. I just think it's a way of creatively making the math work.
And making it happen, yeah. And they could be, you know, obviously the deal could be done next season. You know, so you never know. You know, you never know how they can get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I lean.
And I have all the faith that Brett Veach is smart enough to get these things done. We've seen it kind of work. And I know he's young in his career as a general manager, but he's able to kind of, I think he's smart enough to kind of get these deals done too.
It was almost a near perfect offseason this past year. And
right.
It overall was almost nearly perfect for Brett Veach and company. I just wonder still, because today didn't change a whole lot for me on the Chris Jones front. I still think, unfortunately for Chiefs fans, probably don't want to hear it, that it's going to be a tag and trade scenario. I don't think he plays on the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think they get a long-term deal done. That's my hope is that they get a long-term deal done and he's here because we know the impact he has on the football field. And as you mentioned, what it means for Frank Clark and these other guys. But I think it's, wouldn't surprise me, we see what the Chiefs did on the opposite, where it was, what, a few days before the draft or a week before the draft, they traded for Frank Clark and gave up their first-round pick. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe they get a first-round pick or a second-round pick and other picks by trading Chris Jones a week before the draft. I think that's still where it ends up. Totally could be wrong on that. I hope I'm wrong on that because I would love Chris Jones to be on this Chiefs roster in 2020.
Yeah, Brett Feach said it the other day about how great is it to have Frank Clark and Chris Jones
on
the same line there. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. It's what people would like to see.
It's what made their defense Super Bowl caliber.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that Tyrann Mathieu wasn't great, because he was.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the reason that defense was so good is because they constantly gave pressure to quarterbacks when Frank Clark and Chris Jones got healthy.
Especially when Clark got healthy the last half of the season. Yeah.
It was a big difference, at least on that end. And I guess going forward now, because we're about, what, a month? I'm trying to think about it. We're a month away from opening day. We're, what, 2.5 weeks away from the start of the new league year for the NFL. There's it's one of those dead times of sports, but then we're all trying to be in the projection business. So from your end, Lynn, do you think they get a deal done with Chris Jones? And if they don't, then, you know, what kind of, you know, does that mean they're going to make some other move on this end, at least from the Sammy Watkins front or some of the other players they can still be involved with? Jones one's tough because you are kind of just Yeah, trying to figure out how to get the deal done.
You are, but it's just, it's so hard, and this is probably the fun part of our business because you get in the projection part of the business, but there are so many variables because you got the new CBA. You're trying to figure out how much money is going to be available for some of these teams, especially the Kansas City Chiefs, how much they could use that money to pay for Chris Jones, to pay for Sammy Watkins, also to get the Patrick Mahomes deal done, who's probably waiting for the Dak Prescott
right.
deal. Exactly. You know, so you have all these little different variables that's going to, and then you have, you know, then you're trying to think about what you're going to do for the draft, which is in 2 months. You still have 2 months to do that because all those things you have to kind of get done. Because you even talk about, like, what are the Chiefs' needs for the NFL draft? Well, I don't even think the Chiefs know what their needs are until they get these deals done or not done, until they kind of figure those things out. Do they get the Chris Jones deal done? I mean, as much as I want him to get it done, I just can't see if they could. I don't know why they just couldn't get this done last year. And I know the money, but there was an opportunity there, I think, and it just, it didn't work. And I don't know. I just don't, I have that funny feeling that they're not going to get this deal done.
Lynn Jennings in studio with us, of course, sports director over at Channel 9, as we continue here on Cody and Gold. And you brought up the draft a little bit, and you know, there's so much time still to figure out, and all the names, I'm sure people start falling in love with certain names. We get closer and closer to the draft out in Las Vegas. But I said, priority-wise, if you're trying to pinpoint it, where you would like to see the Chiefs initially address, for me, it's the cornerback spot, because I don't feel, between Breland and Fuller, at least one's gone, if not both are gone. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty fair to say. And then, as good as Chris Harris sounds, I would love for Chris Harris, the free agent, to find his way into Kansas City. I think even if that happened, I would still like them to draft it. But I think the cornerback position is the number one priority, assuming they don't go out and get a stud free agent at that spot. For me, that first-round pick, or whatever their first pick in the draft is, even if they trade out of the first round, I want to see them target the corner. And I think, you think about impactful players, that's a position where they need that to happen right away.
It seems like the Chiefs always kind of do a zig when we all think they're going to zag on draft day. And
they can take a running back?
You never know. But that's because they talk about their needs. But look how much success they have in getting running backs later in the rounds. I mean, Kareem Hunt, I mean, obviously it didn't work out, the off-field issues. But with where they got Kareem Hunt, was he a
third round pick,
and Darwin Thompson. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the future running back or not. He just, but he, you know, they seem to use him a lot this past season. So you kind of look at where they are, like, you know, maybe they'll get a running. They have no problem getting a running back in the third or fourth or fifth round. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Alex. I think that there's that position with the cornerback where there's definitely a need. But you know, I think it's always kind of funny with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just, you never know what they're going to do. I was surprised about the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. I was shocked when that happened, you know.
Because, were you down there at the facility? Were you there?
Was that okay. Was at the
the practice facility? No. I remember everybody kind of scrambling that day.
No, we're
maybe at the rally.
Where was the draft? Because I'm trying, because I went to a couple of drafts.
Was it not in Dallas that year?
Okay, so no, wasn't at the draft that year.
I'm trying to think what year was.
I would have remembered that.
Where
one.
Was the draft that
day? I'm trying to remember where.
God, all I ever think about is what Patrick Mahomes did. I don't think I ever recycled back through what draft location it was.
But if you remember that season, the season before was, you know, the Chiefs went all the way to the playoffs. They lost to the Steelers, was at that 19-16 game or whatever it was in the playoffs, and they were so close to the AFC Championship game. And it felt like, you know, there were some needs that they could have been addressed. And what did they do? They traded a couple picks. They went, moved up, and they got Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. And, you know, I mean, it worked out fantastic. But I didn't see that happening.
Yeah, in the last couple of years haven't even had a first round pick because of some of those trades. We think they're going to have a pick at 32, but point, I don't think you could be surprised, especially if they don't trade Chris Jones. If they trade, I think it's far more likely that they would trade out of the first round if they're holding on to Chris Jones, because then you're really, I think, in need of stockpiling some picks.
If you have a second first round pick, which would likely be the return for Chris Jones, you'd probably be thinking a little differently. You could move out, but even then, I mean, maybe that makes it more likely to move out at 32, because what do you actually need to do in picking that spot is, we got our first round pick, let's move back, get more picks, try to find 7 or 8 guys, because they're going to need to start finding some cheaper players.
Yeah.
Like, some they can pay. They might be able to pay Chris Jones or pay Sammy Watkins, but they're going to need to start finding some cheaper guys.
But think about it. I mean, like, Mecole Hardman. What round was he? What round was
McColl? He was a second.
He was a second round. So, I mean, these guys, the Chiefs are able to kind of find, you know, stud picks in the second, third, fourth round. So, who knows?
Well, and some of that, they still have some cheap guys like Speaks or, you know, like you mentioned, Darwin.
Darwin Thompson.
Like, where they start talking
Hardman.
About the, like, hey, are we going to get better value out of them now than we have in previous years? And I think that's probably a good way to look at it. By the way, the draft was in Philadelphia.
Philly. Was Dallas the next year then?
So, If you were in Philly that
nope,
year.
Nope, I was not in Philly.
At least at that end. So I think you'd remember, I guess.
No, I was in Chicago for the Marcus Peters pick.
Okay.
Yeah, for that one. That was a fun year. Yeah, that was a fun year.
Serta was there, too.
Well, was he? Yeah. You know who wasn't? Peters wasn't there. we're all waiting for the pick to come in. Like, Marcus Peters was not there. Yeah.
So, wow, that's a real bummer in TV.
Yeah.
From your perspective,
I think we were fortunate because Shane Ray, the Bishop BH kid, was picked in for that same round. So, you know, I was like, well, if we could talk to Shane Ray. We had someone to talk to. Like, Nashville had Drew Locke.
Had some video, at least, to cover your end. When you mentioned TV, I guess this will be kind of maybe a different perspective. Before you came on, we were talking a little bit about there's reports, obviously, that YouTube TV can't reach an agreement with Sinclair.
Yeah.
And so beyond that, I don't know what company yours is. I don't know what major company yours is with.
We're our station?
Yes.
We're with Hearst. Hearst
okay,
Corporation.
Correct. I was like, God, are you Sinclair? And then I'm
no.
And I'm not trashing or however that works out. But
yeah.
But are you, because you guys do, like, I can still get your network. I can get nine. Mm-hmm. I have rabbit ears, right? Mm-hmm. I can still get those and stream and cover that end.
Thanks for watching.
Are you surprised? Well, I mean, are you surprised or is it not surprise you that it seems like they haven't yet been able to figure out the jump from sports broadcast ownership rights and streaming and where these two things are going? Or is this just indicative of the rest of the television? Or like they're still trying to figure all this out.
I think they're still trying to figure this out. I mean, look at the Big 12 and everything with ESPN Plus is happening right now. I mean, I think they're trying to, I mean, as much as Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, keeps trying to put like a little bit of a cherry on top of it and them talking about it, it's just, you know, people are upset about, you know, trying to find KU basketball on ESPN Plus. And, you know, we have, but I think there's a lot of people just trying to figure things out. I mean, in my own household, just tell you quickly, because, you know, we cut the cord and, you know, very happy. I tried to get Hulu Live. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, even though my TV is only 3 years old, my TV does not support Hulu Live. And we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just like, well, this is crazy. So, of course, I'm pulling hair out trying to find out where I can watch, you know, some football or whatever it is. But it's crazy. So we're just, you know, so I think that there's still a lot of a lot of things to kind of figure out. But I heard a little bit about what you guys, because I didn't read everything, but I guess the Royals.
Essentially, Sinclair doesn't have a deal with any of the regional Fox Sports Network or the YES Network in place anymore. So
okay. It's
not just the Royals. If you stream YouTube TV,
okay,
no Royals and no other Fox regional team that you might support across the country, coupled with the Yankees as well, because seemingly these deals keep happening because I just feel like they can't figure out. And this affects a lot of people. Like, there are a lot of people who watch YouTube TV or Hulu Live or whatever streaming service they do. And the more people they can't seem to come to negotiation with, the harder it is for people like us who are big sports fans.
Yeah. And we deal with that a lot. We deal with a lot, I mean, especially on a local level with our affiliate. We've done, you know, because, you know, there's always those battles and it's above my pay grade to get into who's right and who's wrong and who's making money, who's not making my money. But it's all, you know, with DirecTV. And with, you know, with cable, even with, you know, with the cable companies, there's always kind of that battle back and forth when it comes to, you know, who's making more money and who's not making enough money and trying to work those deals out. And I'm seeing in my 20 some odd years of TV experience, I see more of these negotiations, going past the midnight hour than I've ever experienced in the past. So it's happening more and more.
Yeah, there's been so many times you'd be watching TV and no matter what you'll local station it is. Yeah, it's like, if you like this, call this number. Let them know you still want this station.
Well, sometimes it's local networks, too.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it'll be
what
like,
I'm saying,
oh,
yeah.
If you want to watch, you know, this game show, you're like, well, tough.
You're going to miss it, yeah.
You're going to miss it.
If you're a such and such customer on
this
satellite.
What's the most popular reality television show on 9? That way, at least I'm making the
Bachelor.
Bachelor. If you're a fan of The Bachelor, please tell your cable provider that we're making sure.
I'd be very concerned that The Bachelor
I almost said Wheel, and I knew that wasn't on you. I'm like, nah, I'm going to really play. Lynn is in here from Channel 9. Let's make sure we get a...
Yeah, it's
let's get an ABC show.
Did you see the actual cord cutting, though? Did you see that story that came out? The actual cord cutting, I guess, before the AFC title game? That there is now looking for people that essentially right before the 90 minutes before the start of the AFC title game, they damaged the fiber optics cable, like literal cord cutting.
Right. I heard about.
I guess you don't have to worry about if you're streaming. You don't have to.
Well, I heard about that. It was at where was the outage? Because it was somewhere
near Northwest Inglewood Road in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah. And they had a picture of the people
up
who
in
did
the Northland.
There was a picture out of like two guys. I mean, you can't really tell a lot from the grainy picture, but.
Well, they just like didn't want people to watch the Chiefs game, start digging holes.
I don't know why they would do that. Though that seems like two guys, if you do something like that, be bragging at a bar about it. And there's probably someone overheard. Someone's got to know.
Prank or a bet.
I bet you got a little
something.
Bit of trouble in your youth, Lynn.
What's that?
I said, I bet you got a little bit of trouble in your youth.
I was in a gang. It's a long story, but I was in a gang.
The Latin
Going
Kings.
Over the mean streets. The mean streets of Alma, Michigan.
Alma, Michigan.
Alma, Michigan. That's where I grew up, yeah.
Where is that near? Like, what's the major city nearby that?
Like, no, it's not. I tell people there's only a few ways you would know about Alma. Now, you know, back in my day, we took the pre-SATs, and there was a box you could check if you wanted literature from a college. If you checked yes, you most likely got something from Alma College, and that's where Alma, Michigan is. And then there was a big. There used to be a big Total refinery. So if you're driving up northern Michigan and you smelled rotten eggs, that was Alma. So that's how people
the
know.
The city smelled
Alma.
Like rotten eggs, huh?
Well, because of the Total oil refinery that was there. It's no longer there, so I'm sure it smells very pleasant now. But it's north of Lansing, if you're familiar with Lansing. Actually, I can't, obviously, your listeners can't, but I could put the mitten up, and we're like smack dab in the middle of the mitten.
Oh, that's I where see. It is. This yeah. is your way that's to Michigan. Describe yeah, the map. Yeah, this yeah. is Michigan.
And we're right back, right there. Actually, the town next door is actually called St. Louis. It actually calls itself the middle of the mitten.
I bet you weren't just a gang member. You're leader of a gang, right?
No.
But no, just, you're a follower.
I was a follower.
I've already admitted I've been arrested before. We discussed that last week on the show, so I'm not getting back into that.
Yeah.
So Mailbox baseball in your youth will get you in trouble, Lynn. Turns out. It's serious trouble.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, when social media existed back in my day, yeah, we'd be a lot more in trouble.
So. Oh, God. Honestly, I'm kind of thankful. Some of the dumb things I would have said, like, especially because, like Twitter didn't exist when I was like
you're not
15.
That much old. You're not that much older than me.
No, but Twitter didn't exist when I was, like, 15. There's no recorded history of the dumb things I would have said when I was, like, 18 years old on Twitter. And I certainly would have. I've had conversations with people like that who have, like, you know, and what are our kids going to do, Lynn? We're screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
I mean, there's so many times today where I start tweeting like, nope, delete.
So you think twice, usually a good decision. Overall.
It's like, this is something my friends would laugh at, but I think probably other people would not find it funny.
So fire it off into the group text instead?
Yes, exactly.
There it is.
Yeah, to be safe.
Boy, if those ever get exposed. If any of our group texts, anybody's group texts ever get exposed, it seems like that's a dark place for comedy.
Yeah, they're usually not something you would want to see in the public light.
Nope.
A lot of times on some of those group messages as well. We mentioned, you know, we're getting closer to opening day. We're closer to the new league year for the NFL as well. But a few weeks away, it reminded me because I just got an email about it, the Big 12 tournament coming up. Do you get the sense that at least I have, the excitement for this year's Big 12 tournament's just not going to be there when you look at the local team? You've got, yes, Kansas, I understand, number one of the country, but K-State having one of their worst years in school history, sitting at just 9 wins. And then, of course, Missouri's over in the SEC tournament. But
right.
And Iowa State always shows up big in their yeah,
best. I was about to say.
You don't that, have, I mean, what's that going to be like this year?
Iowa State always travels really well. I don't know. You know, you're going to have the top two teams in the country playing in the Big 12 tournament. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I mean, Baylor and Kansas could face each other again in the Big 12 tournament, and then, you know, see what happens with the NCAA tournament. But, K-State just kind of really I didn't predict that. I didn't think they were
going to win. No, they were picked to finish second to last, but I don't think when anybody was picking that, they were thinking they wouldn't be at double-digit wins heading into the last week of February.
Oh, yeah. They're not playing very well at all. So, yeah, but I don't know. I'm excited. I like college basketball.
So do I. No, I'm excited for it. I just wonder what the
I think
the
you're
fan.
I understand. It's kind of like almost – well, I'll tell you. I mean, it's just – it's like one of those things where we joked about this the other day because, you know, I went away for the Royal Spring Training and we didn't have one meeting for my departure. And we usually have meetings with producers and some of our production people about what their needs are. And we didn't have one meeting. And I was looking to, you know, for the journalist Brett Elliott. And I said, you know, no one really talked to us about what we're doing. So I guess we'll just do what we normally do. But I think it's because of the Super Bowl hangover that, you know, we just everyone was, you know, I saw you guys down there in Miami and everyone just kind of had their, you know, everything all going 100% toward the Super Bowl and just kind of just working nonstop. And so we're on that Super Bowl hangover. But I think by the time the Big 12 tournament comes around, because that's what, March?
About 11th or something,
something like that.
That.
Yeah. That would second weekend in March. So, yeah, I think by that time, I think a lot of people are excited about it. Hopefully the weather's a little bit warmer and nicer.
It's honestly one of the best sports weeks typically in Kansas City of the year.
And the women here are Big 12 women are actually in the same.
And it's been a few years. They've been in Dallas quite a bit here.
I think
lately.
So, yeah.
Dallas and OKC. And so, is that, I guess the women's are the
municipal.
Muni.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, man, there were Final Fours played in that building. That's where my Ruse were playing for a while, Len.
I know. The UMKC Ruse.
Back at Swinney.
Yeah, back at the, they're going to be back at the, what's the conference? They're leaving the WAC and they're
going
be
back to the Summit League.
Summit
That's
League.
Where Ryan Witkowski and I cut our teeth.
Yeah.
We were together at UMKC. We once traveled to the Summit League tournament. Honestly, if you've never been to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
No, thanks. I'm good.
That's not that bad.
He was in Boise, Idaho for a while.
Yeah, what's he complaining about?
I will defend Boise strongly against Sioux Falls. Very strong. Boise.
Never been to Idaho.
The rest of Idaho is what you think it would be. But Boise, actually, great city. Great city. One of the fourth or fifth fastest growing cities in the country. But anyway, nobody cares about that.
Why do you have random Boise facts available?
I lived there for 2 years. People would ask me about it, and I had to sell them on it.
So to back me up, he was awfully quick on that Boise fact.
Yeah, because I've been asked. As Lynn said, not a lot of people have been out there before. So that's one of my things. It's what Austin was 25 years ago. What else are you on?
Oh, my gosh.
Why are you trying to sell people on Boise?
Lynn was asking how Boise was. So here we go.
It's like a Boise travel brochure.
Yeah.
It's better than cats.
Yeah.
Austin, 25 years ago. What do you know fastest about, growing city in the U.S.
What do you know about Sioux Falls?
Oh,
the beer was pretty cheap.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice and cheap. Yeah. The arena is connected to a hotel. Problem solved.
Well, being a UMKC guy, are you excited they're going to be back in the Summit League next year?
I am. I think it's more. It's just like all the teams that they're playing now. They're too spread out. The conference is too spread out. It just doesn't make sense for regional partnerships. It's better that they're going to be in the Summit League.
Yeah.
It just is. It's a better fit. It's a better
opportunity.
Fit.
I think a better opportunity to hopefully make the NCAA tournament. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Because New Mexico State runs.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
runs the WAC. So they've never made an NCAA tournament.
And the women's basketball team, they're doing really well, right? They're MKC women. They're either top of the WAC or.
Yeah, they're
second,
right around
right?
Yeah. You're welcome to come with Ryan and I. We've promised ourselves a road trip if they ever actually make the tournament. There'll be a 16 seed against
Do you like it that they're playing at the Swinney Rec Center now?
No, I'm fine. That's where I called games. You know, Muni was a nice switch just because of the historic, but it's
too big.
It's maybe too big of a venue for them at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if they, you know, keep the program going a good direction, we'll feel different.
Yeah.
This turned into UMKC basketball half hour.
Yeah.
Pitching UMKC Ruse, which is less weird than you pitching Boise, so at least we're somewhere in the middle.
Len Jennings, Channel 9 Sports Director, thanks so much for stopping by. We'll probably see you out at Sprint Center then for the Big 12
tournament.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye out for those combine results.
Uh-huh. They always have those nice Chex Mix in the press room. I don't know why.
It's almost the time of the year where you only can use those cups, right? Pretty soon you can't take bottles out there. You got to pour everything in cups.
Delicious Chex Mix. I look forward to that. And they have some of the, I guess, a plug to Dr. Pepper, where they got like the Hawaiian punch that you never see and you never have. I'm like, ooh, God, look at this. So, anyways, and basketball.
Well, thanks for coming in studio. A lot of fun there. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, J.J. Pacola, the Royals Vice President, Assistant General Manager of Player Personnel. We'll ask him about the future, specifically some of these young pitchers and what that timeline is going to look like.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, thanks again to Lynn Jennings of Channel 9 joining us in studio. A lot of fun with him. Somehow, yes, it turned into Cody talking up his Ruse a little bit at the end of the conversation there. We'll get back into the news of the day with Chris Jones. Expected to be franchise tagged, according to multiple reports. May even have a chance to hear a little bit of what Chris Jones had to say as well. Before we do that, though, earlier today on the show, we were lucky. We not only had Whit Merrifield join us right at the beginning in the 10 o'clock hour, but also J.J. Pacola, Royals Vice President, Assistant General Manager of Player Personnel. And after seeing Brady Singer yesterday, I think everybody's like, okay.
Yeah, please.
When's this guy coming up to the big leagues? Is he going to be on the opening day roster? Because he looked awfully impressive yesterday for the Royals. And so that's one of the things we discussed with J.J. Pacola. But I started out and we just asked him, how has spring gone? How's it feel to be back out in Arizona?
Well, it's always an exciting time of year. I mean, it's fun to get down here, see the players for the first time in a while, watch them move around, see how their bodies have changed over the winter, how they've changed. And there's always optimism. You know, people are excited to be here early, a lot of positivity. So it's a fun time of year. You know, you like to bottle it up, and when you hit those lulls in the season, sprinkle a little bit of early spring training on people and, you know, pick people up. So it's a good time.
We obviously have a lot of questions about the system, JJ, but you mentioned bodies changing. You've obviously kept a close eye on Nicky Lopez his entire career in Kansas City. How different does he look to you?
Well, he looks stronger. I mean, there's no doubt he looks stronger. I mean, he spent pretty much the entire offseason in Arizona training with our strength staff, in particular John Wagle, our director of performance and development. And it's paid off. I think it's very obvious to people. He looks a little bit more physical. Of course, you know, Nicky being a middle infielder, he needs to get stronger, but maintain his flexibility and his mobility, his agility and lateral movement. So it's a different, you know, you got to walk that fine line of getting stronger. But Nicky's always had a good sense of who he is and what his role is. So, you know, that when a player is mature like that, you don't have to get overly concerned. But he's put himself in a position, I think, to start the year stronger. Like most guys, as the year goes on, they lose a little bit. But, where he'll end this year will be in a better spot than where he ended last year. And having gone through it that extra month of September last year for the first time, he'll be more prepared to do it in 2020 as well.
Before we get to some of the pitchers, because, JJ, that's obviously who everyone asks us about, which means eventually we're going to ask you about. Last spring training, we were down there, and we were talking a little bit about Khalil Lee and his development. And one thing you and I had the conversation about, how you were hoping he would start swinging earlier in counts to take advantage of better pitches because you felt like the plate discipline wasn't an issue and you just wanted him to be more aggressive as a hitter. Where has he come around as a hitter? Because at the level he's still at, he's still so young, JJ. Just where is he now in the development as a hitter, and how close do you think he's getting to being, you know, big league ready in that department?
Yeah, a telltale sign of a good hitter is when they jump from one level to the next, you expect a little bit of a regression, and then they catch up to the league. But in Khalil's case, he did get promoted to AA in 2018, but he got injured in August and missed the month of August. So really, 2020 was his first true go-around in AA. But if you look at his numbers in Wilmington the previous year to AA in 2019, there was no regression. His power numbers were the same, and his stolen bases really took a big jump. The only difference was he hit a few more ground balls. And, for a guy that profiles in the middle of the lineup somewhere, you don't want him hitting as many ground balls. So Alex Zumwalt, our director of hitting performance, Drew Saylor, our hitting coordinator, Keone Duran, our assistant hitting coordinator, got to him in the fall. Khalil's always in Arizona. I mean, he trains here year-round. Got to him. They were able to show him his data. They were able to show him some of his swings and his contact points, and Khalil's coachable. So, he did get a little bit more aggressive last year, to the point that we don't have as many concerns with that. And now it's a matter of, okay, how do I drive balls more consistently? Because he's got a very high ceiling. And so far in spring training, his BPs have been excellent. Of course, he's close to a major league hitter right now. The professional hitters, their batting practices tend to look very good. But what does he do when he gets in the batter's box? And through our first, four or five games here, he's taken what he's done in his work into the games, and he's driven some balls really well. Just missed hitting a game-winning homer our opening day, first pitch in the ninth inning, and he flew out against the track. So he's doing it. So that's a great sign. It's a great sign of maturity. And the way Khalil works, you can't help but to be optimistic about what he'll do down the road. He's got a chance to be a special player.
J.J. Pecola joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. When you're talking about Khalil there, you mentioned just his change in his approach at the plate and the way they're hitting. As an organization, how have you guys maybe altered the approach within it in terms of hitting and development?
I know a lot's been written about how we restructured things. And really what we were trying to do was just match up all of our different departments between our analytic departments, our performance department, our behavioral science department, and all the information that we have. How do we collaboratively work together to try to help players? Our hitting coaches, I would say they are subject matter experts. They understand swings. But when it comes to body movements and understanding analytics and how it ties into the swing and physically what guys can or can't do, some guys just have limitations in the way their body moves. Well, how do we make that body work to its maximum ability? And, that collaborative effort between the departments I mentioned is really the major change. I mean, the swing is the swing. I know a lot's been made of, launch angle, but there's a lot of misunderstanding of what launch angle is. And, you know, without getting into all of that, we're trying to get our coaches to understand, don't be intimidated by the term launch angle, and get our players to understand, what does that really mean? It's ball off the bat. It's the ball's angle off the bat. Well, how do we create a maximum launch angle? And for a guy like Nicky Lopez compared to Khalil Lee, you're looking for different launch angles. You know, they're different types of players. So with the people we have in place now, we're just working more collaboratively and communicating very well with the player, and that's really the major change. But the swing is the swing, and I like to refer to Ted Williams. If you read, you know, his book on hitting, it fits today's game. So, you know, the swing hasn't changed that much. Now, the way you may go about teaching it, some of the drill work may look a little bit different, but it's really the understanding and the communication from coach to player that's the big difference in today's game.
JJ, obviously, as the director of player personnel, you get a firsthand look at a lot of these pitchers that we've been talking about for a few years here now in Kansas City. How, you know, with Brady Singer or Bubich or Kowar or Lynch, or, you know, you probably want me to mention Bolin and Austin Cox and those guys too. But at the top right now, we got a chance to see four of those guys in a game yesterday, including Brady Singer, work against the heat of the Cubs lineup. Where is he right now? You know, I think people in Kansas City are asking, hey, you know, how long till the reinforcements arrive? But you know, how far along is Brady Singer in his development as far as being ready for you guys?
Yeah, Brady's handling himself. All of the guys you just mentioned that are major league camp, they're handling themselves in camp, you know, very, very well. They're very mature. We knew that from the time we signed them. So we're not, you know, those of us who've been around them are not surprised at how they're handling things. But Brady's a competitor. You know, so yesterday he was clean first inning, second inning. You know, I was not at that game, but there were, you know, three, from what I understand, soft hits. So now he's got bases loaded, no out jam. You know, the competitor in Brady comes out. He knows he needs to punch somebody out to get out of this inning unscathed. He punches out two, and he gets a weak ground ball, and he gets out of it. And I think that just is a very clear indication of how mature Brady is. A lot of young pitchers in that situation are going to panic. Brady didn't panic. And, you know, the good thing about that game, he got experience with guys on base. And it tells our coaching staff, how ready is he or how close is he? It gives us a better picture. Same thing with Lynch and Kowar. They had to pitch out of traffic yesterday, and they got out unscathed. And that's a great sign. So even though you love to see the 1-2-3 innings, strike out 2 out of 3, we learn as much about a pitcher when they are in difficult situations. And it gives us a better indication of how ready they are. I know people will want to ask, you know, what's the estimated time of arrival? You know, we're not, the way I like to describe it, you know, we're not building a building where you're starting on this date and by this date you got a completion date. You know, there's going to be bumps in the road. There are things that you need to do as a pitcher that the major league coaches and other mature veteran players will pick apart. So if you don't hold runners well, you'll get exposed in the major leagues. You don't field your position well, you'll get exposed in the major leagues. So when you get to the major leagues, you have to win. In the minor leagues, we're about development. We want to win, but we're about development. So our part, if those guys are not on our major league team, okay, what do we need to address? So when they do get to the major leagues, they have no weaknesses, in an ideal world. So when that timetable, predicting when they would get to the big leagues is a difficult thing. As we see them play against older players who will try to expose their weaknesses, we'll have a better idea of how close they are. But so far, so good. They've all done very well. Bubich hasn't pitched in an actual game yet. He threw two innings in a B game against the Rangers. He gave up a solo home run, but he punched out five. He'll get his chance, I believe, today to get in a game. So we'll see him against major league hitters with people in the seats for the first time today.
How do you feel where this organization is at in the minors compared to maybe where it was 8 to 10 years ago, for example, just where you guys are set up for the future?
You know, it's there's a lot of similarities, and I assume you're talking about when that first group of guys
sure.
came through,
yeah.
2010-11. We were probably a little bit more heavy on the hitter side, the position player side. You know, we had higher ceiling guys on in the field. I think it's a little bit flipped, but similar in our depth. Our pitching is very strong in AA and AAA, and even in Wilmington and Lexington. We feel, Yeah, very, very good about our depth. One of our goals from 2006 was to be a pitching factory, and we wanted to have a legitimate prospect in our rotation 1 through 5. This is the first year that we've been here that we feel like we can say that. We have that type of depth. So I think what, you know, our fans are excited about is you see guys in AA and AAA, you know they're not that far away. So we feel great about our depth. And in particular, pitching. And I think we have some position players that are primed for bounce-back years. We have total confidence in the Prados and the Melendezes and the Matiases. And, you know, we feel great about them. They just had a little, you know, bump in the road last year that they're going to work through. And that's the beauty of the minor leagues as well. You know, you don't have to rush guys through. You know, if they meet the challenge at a level, there's another level for a challenge. They meet that challenge, there's another level. So you just keep moving them. So we feel very good. It's an exciting time, and I feel like our coaches are sort of invigorated. They understand the talent we have, and they're just doing a phenomenal job in bringing what they have to offer every day to the field, and our guys are getting better. And that's ultimately what we want.
Do you already know who you're taking in the draft?
I have no idea. No idea. I know it's early in the scouting season. Lonnie Goldberg and his staff, they're hitting the pavement pretty hard right now, and it's picked up quite a bit with the Division I season starting and high schools in Florida. So they're running around like crazy, and you know they'll do a great job, and we'll take the right guy in June.
JJ, we'll let you get back to that. I know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for giving us some time today here on 610.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That was J.J. Pacole, the Royals Vice President, Assistant General Manager for Player Personnel. I had a chance to catch up with him a little bit earlier today. Obviously, you're joking a little bit at the end there about the draft, which won't be for another couple months, to say the least. But
just
also,
trying to sneak it in.
I think what people want to know really was just about the young pitchers. And after seeing what Brady Singer could do, and you asked him about the timeline, and he knew that was coming, as he's probably going to be asked about that until those guys are there for the foreseeable future. People want to know, hey, what's that like? And he said, really, essentially, he said there's not a timeline, right? That it's like, you know, it's not the same as just building it. There's not a dead date you have to get to. That doesn't exist for these guys.
Going to have step backs and step forwards, mm-hmm. and then we just have to blindly decide when it's the right time. It's so hard. Come on, man. It's trying to like hit a dart on a dartboard, but it's moving around at 40 miles an hour. How do you really know you're not calling up someone too soon? The same problem is, oh, we'll just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And what if we just burned 6 months, a year of actual Major League Baseball experience? Because Dayton has said multiple times how Major League experience actually gets people ready, right? Like, oh, they need 1,500 at bats before we can judge them as a hitter. Look at Moose. Look at Haas. We need 1,500 at-bats. I'm like, okay, well, they can't get those at-bats unless they're up. They can't get those innings unless they're up. And you're trying to hit this, like, perfect window of when is the right time, when is the wrong time. It's hard. It's hard. But that's their job, not mine. I'll just wait until they get called up and be excited when they are.
So thanks again to J.J. Pacole for giving us some time. Also, thanks to Whit Merrifield. He joined us in the 10 o'clock hour. You can get all that at 610 Sports KC. Now, the big news of the day is that Chris Jones is expected to be franchise-tagged. And I guess he went on national radio today, and this just wrapped up in the last few minutes, as a matter of fact. He was on with Colin Cowherd of The Herd, and a couple things just about that. First of all, you know, you would expect he was asked about being franchise tagged, but also he was asked about the CBA that's going on. And Chris Jones on that interview said, if the NFL wants to expand to 17 games, the number of padded practices should be drastically reduced. And that's somewhat what you saw from the statement of Aaron Rodgers last night, was talking about more free time in the offseason. This is specifically Chris Jones saying, hey, more padded practices if you're going to make us play 17 games, no matter where I'm playing next year.
Well, that's the right move. You realize that of all of the ACL injuries that happened throughout, there's still like, there was a 30 concussions during the preseason last year. Yeah, just go ahead and get rid of those. We're not doing that. And then there's concussions and tears and injuries and shoulder issues and things that come up during padded practices when they actually have to hit each other. Now, we're not doing that either. You know when we're going to get ready to play football? When we're playing football. So if it takes us a couple of games into the season to sort it out, well, at least we got an extra game to solve it.
The one thing I did not realize, and this just came out from Pro Football Talk as well, around the CBA, and this impacts, you know, potentially guys like Chris Jones at some point in their careers, but that I guess the proposed CBA would restrict a player's ability to actually hold out It would increase the fine so much, it would take accrued seasons more quickly, and making fines mandatory for players on their second contracts. That's a terrible thing for players.
They also, that's tough. Like, that's really tough.
These are things that are, like, snuck in there a little bit.
I know. It's the things you didn't hear about right away, but holding them hostage to the point of making it financially impossible to sit out sucks for players. Because it's one of the few actual things of value they have that they can do. Like, Chris Jones didn't really sit out last year. He missed, like, a practice or something and then came back. But we've seen players take it into the regular season, and if they, you can't just make it so financially impossible that they can't do it, because then they have zero leverage. None.
You can't make it. They are making it that way, though.
I know, that sucks. That, I understand why the players are fighting a lot of this deal. It's going to eventually get approved, but there are a lot of things to be annoyed about. And that's the kind of sneaky thing the NFL would do, right? Like, we're not going to get rid of that franchise tag, and we're not going to really care that we test for marijuana, but we're still going to test for it, so you can't completely get rid of it. Oh, but also it's harder for you to become a free agent. It's harder for you to hold out on your deal. You have to get on the field and play those 17 games, because if you don't, we're going to make it so financially hard for you to sit out that you just can't do it. That stinks.
That's I would argue, worse than even some of the other. I mean, than having the 17th game capped. Seriously, I almost think that's worse. Making it so, I mean, yes, we talk about the majority of players impacted in the CBA and what kind of money they make versus the stars in this league, but to essentially make it, not every player is going to be in a position to hold out, but this is worse than capping some of those highest paid players' earnings, telling them that they cannot try to fight for their earnings or you'll be financially penalized. That's worse than capping it at 250. That's way worse.
We'll have some clips from that Chris Jones interview tomorrow on the show here on Coding Gold, but I would expect you could hear some of those coming up on The Drive with Sean Levine as well, because he did speak about the franchise tag. So you got that. But I mean, it's, you can't. Like, the players are in a position of better leverage than they've had in a while. But again, they have to take big, and I do mean big, risks for a lot of players. 60% of the league plays at the minimum. You are asking a lot from them in order to make this deal happen, which is eventually why it feels like they always get these deals approved. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'd be hard-pressed to tell you that 60% of the NBA or 60% of Major League Baseball play at the minimum. Like, that's a difficult line in the sand. It's, well, not to say it doesn't happen. Baseball, there's more.
I would imagine you're correct. Now, I think a big part of that is the roster size, right? Obviously, the roster size and the need for depth in the NFL versus the roster sizes in the NBA versus the roster size in you know, active roster in Major League Baseball. I think so much of that, I'm sure you're correct on that when it comes to the number, but I think as far as why does that comparison not necessarily directly work, it's just the flat-out roster size that you have in the National Football League. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit more spread out after
still
the top 10%
is
so.
A huge, no, but, you know, part of that is because the NFL has very quickly shifted, Gold. They have gone away from veteran contracts and instead have gone younger and younger and younger. And it's been harder and harder for guys like Chris Jones to get the value out of the second contract that they would desire.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306 from the 816, someone's saying, hey, I know it's not what you're trying to say, but it sounds like you're saying they should be paid whether they go to work or not. No, the issue, I understand what that texter is bringing up, that, hey, they're holding out, why should they get paid? That's not the issue. Nobody's saying they should get paid while they're holding out, but that the fines would be so excessive
that they couldn't do it.
That's the issue.
Like, now the fines are a lot, but they're said to have made the fines so cost prohibitive that you just simply can't do it. And a lot of times the way these deals work is like, look, we're not going to fine you the full amount for sitting out. It's okay. We're glad you're here now. Like, a lot of times they work those things out, but they are obviously trying to make it so that you would never even consider it. That's a bit different. And I think that that's got to stand out, at least on that end, because, again, the NFL has gone so young, even so boldly in that area, that they've made it harder for these players anyway.
Real quick, just a little note on the college football route relates to Kansas State. This coming across from 24/7 Sports that, well, Mel Tucker, who we were talking a lot about with the Colorado opening, and now he's at Michigan State, he has tabbed Kansas State's Scotty Hazleton as the Spartans' next defensive coordinator. So just a little bit of college football news coming out of Manhattan. It looks like they will be losing Scotty Hazleton.
He's a good DC.
Yeah, so a little bit of a loss, certainly, for the Kansas State Wildcats out in Manhattan.
The final word.
We had an email sent to us from Dusty Likens, our coworker here at 610 last night. He was asking for our help. Said he doesn't do this very often, but he has someone in need, so why wouldn't we spread that message for him? Serta, I know you tweeted out the link. It's on my Twitter
as well.
Yep. It's on Gold's Twitter, at CodyBeatsApp, at Alex Gold, or at Steven Serta. But his friend Kiera is in need of your assistance, and we ask to do whatever you can. She was diagnosed with brain cancer, and obviously now it has been removed, but the bills are coming. And if anybody knows anything about the current medical system, it is difficult. She's 24 years old and now recovering from having a tumor removed for brain cancer. And all Dusty is looking to just try to make sure that she is taken care of enough that she can make sure that she's not buried in medical debt. And for any of us who have ever feared that happening to ourselves, it is very real. Please go find it on our page. Her name is Kiera. You can find her GoFundMe available now. She is currently at $4,000 of her $7,500 goal. Please help.
If you don't already follow us, that's where you can find it.
At Dusty Likens on Twitter as well.
At Dusty Likens, at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, at 610 Sports KC as well. And obviously, yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine going through something like that.
God, 24? I'm barely an adult now at 35. I couldn't imagine going through something that serious. So please really help if you can.
Of course, coming up right after us, it's The Drive with Sean Levine. I'm sure he'll have more on Chris Jones. The news today, the Chiefs expected to franchise tag him.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.